Okay. Welcome to Shir Ramban, Parshas Devarim. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Marilyn Muskin, marking the yard site of her husband Leon Muskin. Neshama should have an aliyah, should see much nachas ruach in the Torah mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that the family are involved in. Wanted to share tonight the hakdama, the introduction that the Ramban has to Sefer Devarim. Something that's interesting about the Ramban in general is that he liked to look at the big picture. So we find that before, in the beginning of each of the five chumashim, the Ramban gives you a hakdama, an introduction. This is what this chumash is going to talk about. This is going to be the main theme of this particular chumash. And when it comes to Devarim, he writes as follows. Hasefer hazeh inyano yodua shehu mishneh Torah. Everybody knows what the theme of Devarim is about. Devarim is referred to as Mishneh Torah, literally the repetition of the Torah. Yivar ba Moshe Rabbeinu lador hanichnas ba'aretz rov mitzvos ha'Torah tzrichos liYisrael. In Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu explains to the generation which is about to enter into Eretz Yisrael the majority of the mitzvos in the Torah which a Jew needs to know. So what does that mean as opposed to mitzvos that a Jew doesn't need to know? Which of those mitzvos exactly? So he goes on to say, V'lo yazkir bo dover b'toras kohanim, lo b'maisa ha-korbonos, v'lo b'taras ha-kohanim v'maaseyem. So one thing that is omitted, very conspicuously omitted from Sefer Devarim, says the Ramban, is any discussion of halachos that are relevant to the Kohanim specifically. In other words, all the halachos which we find in Parshas Emor, about what the Kohanim, you're disqualified from being a Kohen, what a Kohen is allowed to do, not allowed to do, or discussions in depth about the Korbanos, there are references to the Korbanos in Devarim, but certainly the kind of in-depth discussions that we have in Vayikra are absent from Devarim. HaKohanim Zrizim Heim Lo Yedstarchu Le'azhara Achar Azhara. In the words of the Gemara, the Kohanim are conscientious, there's Zrizim. And as a result, once the Kohanim were told in Sefer Vayikra what they need to do, we don't need to belabor the point. There's no need to reiterate to the Kohanim. They got their marching orders, they know what to do, they're going to follow suit. Avo, Yisrael Yazir Amitzvos HaNoagos Bohem Pam Achar Pam. However, when it comes to the rest of Klal Yisrael, regular Jews, Sefer Devarim focuses on those mitzvos which a Jew needs to know on a regular basis, a Jew encounters on a regular basis, Lohosif Bohem Bir, to add some degree of explanation to these mitzvos. So, in other words, right off the bat, the idea that the Ramban is trying to express is that the mitzvos which are mentioned in Sefer Devarim are ones which come up frequently. They come up frequently and they're oriented towards the average Jew as opposed to the Kohanim. These are mitzvos which come up frequently with the average Jew has to know. Now the question the Ramban is going to have to deal with, which really all the Mefarshim deal with to some extent, is that we find that in Sefer Devarim, certain mitzvos are focused upon, others are omitted. Some mitzvos, which we found already in some form in the earlier Chumashim, are reiterated, again, with some additional material. There's some new mitzvos which appear in Devarim, which don't appear anywhere else earlier in Chumash. And it's not immediately obvious by what criteria certain mitzvos are included in Devarim, and other mitzvahs are excluded from Devarim. How do you become a mitzvah to make it into Sefer Devarim? So right off the bat, the Ramban tells us two criteria. It's a mitzvah that's for all Jews, not just Kohanim, and a mitzvah which is a frequently encountered mitzvah, something that you'd come upon on a regular basis. The Od Yosef B'Sefer Hazeh Ksas Mitzvos Shelo Nizkeru Klal. In addition to the mitzvos which are repeated in Sefer Devarim, which have to be explicated and fleshed out to a greater extent than they were in the earlier Chumashim, there are also new mitzvos which appear in Devarim for the first time. kegon hayibum, leveret marriage, din motzi shemra, a husband who falsely accuses his wife of having committed adultery, hagerushim beisha, the laws of divorce, eidim zomimim, what to do with witnesses who are lying, vizulasan, and other such things. They're only discussed for the first time in Sefer Dvarim. Ukvar nemru lo kulon besinai o be'omoy v'shono rishono kodem hameraglin. You should know, says the Ramban, that even the new mitzvos, which appear in Sefer Dvarim, were all revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu earlier in the desert, either at Har Sinai, or certainly before the episode with the Meraglim. Ki be'arvo smoav, lo nischad shulo ledivrei abis kashen isparesh bo. The only new aspect of Torah that was presented in the Arvos Moav, in the plains of Moav, and others at this point, where Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the Jewish people during the last days of his life, the only thing that's new there is a new bris, is a new covenant. But in terms of the mitzvos that were given to Klal Yisrael, any mitzvah which was mentioned in Devarim was already revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu at an earlier point, 40 years before, in the Jews' history, either at Har Sinai directly, or in the year after the Jews came to Har Sinai, in the Ohel Moed, in the Mishkan. Avo lo nichtuvu ha-mitzvos b'sforim ha-rishonim, shi'edaber im yotzei Mitzrayim. Ki ulai lo noagu ba'osan ha-mitzvos rak ba'oretz, af al pi shehin chovas ha-guf. So the Ramban now has the question. So if all of the mitzvos in Sefer Dvarim were in point of fact revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, so why was he holding back? Why was he waiting 40 years before sharing these with Klal Yisrael? So answers the Ramban, it would seem that the mitzvos which are discussed in Sefer Dvarim were only relevant to the generation going into Eretz Yisrael, not to the earlier generation which had come out of Mitzrayim, but which had died off in the desert. Ulai, perhaps, lo noagu ba'osan ha-mitzvos rak ba'aretz. Perhaps these mitzvos which were added, seemed to be added in Sefer Dvarim, those are mitzvos which only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Af al pi shein chovas ha-guf. And that's notwithstanding the fact that some of these mitzvos don't seem tied to Eretz Yisrael in any way. They seem to be obligations upon the person without being necessarily agricultural. In other words, take an example. I understand that mitzvos like, you know, Orla. Actually, I shouldn't say Orla. I understand that mitzvos like Trumos Umaisros or Shemitah or the like are somehow related to Eretz Yisrael. But there are other mitzvahs. The Ramban mentioned a few moments ago, Yibum, the more of leveret marriage. What's that got to do with Eretz Yisrael? Nonetheless, the Ramban is suggesting that the new mitzvahs which we find in Sefer Dvarim may not have been applicable until the Jews actually came into Eretz Yisrael. What's an example of that? Kasher ba be'inyan ha-nesachim. I'll give you an example, says the Ramban. In Parsha Shlach, right after the story with the Meraglim, the Torah describes how when you bring an animal korban, you also have to bring wine libations, nesachim. And Chazal understand that the nesachim, the wine libations, only became obligatory when Klal Yisrael went into Eretz Yisrael. Now, per se, there's no reason why a wine libation couldn't be brought while the Jews were in the desert. There's nothing on the surface that seems Eretz Yisrael-dic about wine libations. Nonetheless, the Torah tied it. The Torah said these things are only going to apply when you come into Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban suggests, so maybe these other things that we mentioned also are only going to kick in when the Jews come into Eretz Yisrael, notwithstanding the fact that on the surface they seem to have nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael specifically. Oh, alternatively, mipnei she'enon tediros lo hiskirum rak bebanim nochle ha'aretz. Alternatively, says the Ramban, maybe the new mitzvos which are mentioned in Sefer Devarim really applied in the Midbar as well. They applied in the desert as well. But they don't come up that frequently. They weren't things that came up that frequently. So there was no need to share them with the Jewish people while they were in the desert, because they were very rare kinds of halachas. But now that Klal Yisrael are coming into Eretz Yisrael, there was felt that there was a need, you know, to share these mitzvahs, even though they may not come up all that much. The Ramban doesn't elaborate on this last point. And in fact, we'll see that, you know, the sort of seemingly vague description by the Ramban invites many of the Mefarshim to try to poke holes in this argument. I mean, let's take one example, right? So the Ramban mentioned that the mitzvah of gerushin, right, it's not a mitzvah to divorce, but it's a mitzvah that when a couple wants to divorce, there's a certain way in which they have to do it. The husband has to give the get, his wife a get. So that mitzvah is only revealed in Sefer Dvarim. So according, the Ramban just gave two criteria for explaining why a mitzvah might not be mentioned in the earlier Svarim, but might be in Dvarim. Either it's somehow dependent on Eretz Yisrael, even though on the surface it doesn't seem linked to Eretz Yisrael specifically, or it's something that didn't come up very much in the desert. So how would you explain divorce in light of that? The dinim of gerushin only applied when the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael? That seems like a hard sell. You know, to the extent to which kiddushin, marriage, was introduced certainly at Har Sinai, that's the way the Rambam presents it, that kiddushin was created at Har Sinai. But some Mefarshim suggest that Amram in Mitzrayim, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, already instituted for Klal Yisrael a system of kiddushin. If you're instituting kiddushin, it only seems symmetrical to have a concept of gerushin also. More than that, Chazal tell us that there was already a practice of gerushin going back to Mitzrayim. That's the whole story with Amram and Yocheved and their daughter Miriam. Chazal tell us that when Paro made his decree against that the Jewish boys would have to be thrown into the Nile, so all of the husbands and wives, starting with Amram and Yocheved, separated from one another. And it was Miriam as the little child who brought them back together. So we see, it's not clear that there was a get, but I mean, we certainly see there was a concept of gerushin. So a concept of divorce. So to say that gerushin as a mitzvah wouldn't have applied until they came to Eretz Yisrael seems hard to fathom. Maybe you can suggest that domestic life in the desert was so wonderful that divorce came up infrequently. Ramatovu alecho Yaakov mishkanosecho Yisrael, right? As Bilam said, he looked down, he said, wow, you know, everybody seems to be getting along with one another, right? It's always the outsider who says that everybody's getting along with one another. The people on the inside, they, you know, they know the truth. But, you know, maybe in this case he was actually right. Maybe Klal Yisrael had this level of domestic harmony. I mean, after all, the clothes were provided for, the water was provided for, the food was provided for, you know, life was wonderful, you know. So maybe Taka nobody got divorced, or very few people got divorced in the Midbar. But now that we're coming into Eretz Yisrael, so Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael, you know, not all marriages are as happy as what we've had for the last 40 years. There's got to be this institution called divorce. And, you know, let me reveal to you what the Torah says about how to do it. That, you know, that's just one example of trying to, you know, flesh out this idea from the Ramban that the mitzvos, which are revealed in Sefer Dvarim, are specifically chosen because of their relevance specifically to the generation that's coming in to Eretz Yisrael. Many Mefarshim take issue, as we alluded to before, with this idea from the Ramban. Because again, you start trying to work it out with the specific mitzvos, and a lot of mitzvos just don't fit into one of these two categories. In other words, the mitzvos mentioned in Sefer Dvarim don't very often seem to be mitzvos that have a unique tie to either Eretz Yisrael or to the generation that's entering into Eretz Yisrael. Shiluach HaKam, right? Just take an example. Makeh, right? You have to build a fence around your house, you know, so nobody should fall off from it. Again, if you start going through the mitzvahs, you know, not all of them neatly fit into that rubric. To take one example, the Abarbanel, in his commentary to the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, quotes this Ramban. He says he doesn't think, if you start, you know, working it out, that the various mitzvahs which are mentioned in Sefer Dvarim are uniquely tied to the dor, to the generation that came into Eretz Yisrael. It just doesn't work. You know, you try to crunch the numbers, you know, to try to match up the mitzvahs with the idea. This is, you know, you're going to have too many exceptions, too many holes in that theory. The Abarbanel proposes an entirely different theory. The Abarbanel says that the nature of Mishneh Torah is to explain everything that came in the first four Chumashim. Okay, I think most people would agree to that. And then the Abarbanel claims that every mitzvah which you find in Dvarim, which seems to be new, was really alluded to in the earlier four Chumashim. You could argue that that's an even harder theory to prove than the theory of the Ramban. Okay, let's go back to our example of Gerushin, of divorce. Where was divorce in the first four Chumashim? I mean, we didn't really find too much of a reference to that idea. Where was Yibum in the first four Chumashim? Where was Shiluach HaKan? Where was Makkah? Where were all of these mitzvahs? You know, you're going to tell me that this is just fleshing out what's already included in the earlier Chumashim? Okay, you may have a hard time proving that theory as well. But the Abarbanel comes onto that theory because he's bothered by this theory of the Ramban. There's one specific example which is discussed by the Radvaz. Rabbi Shevel, in his notes to the Ramban, quotes this Radvaz. It's the Radvaz in Chelek Hay of the Radvaz. It's Tshuva number 2143. The Radvaz wrote a lot of tshuvas, right? So 2143. And in that tshuva, the Radvaz asks on the Ramban from a mitzvah which is familiar to all of us, the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon. Right? We know Birkas HaMazon, as we say every time we bench, is referenced in the beginning of Parshas Ekev, Yochalto v'Savato v'Irachto Hashem Elokecha. Right? You should eat, you should be satiated, and you should bless Hashem. So ask the Radvaz, so you're going to tell me that there was no mitzvah of benching before Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael? How does that fit any of the criteria? Benching, I mean, we know today we bench outside of Eretz Yisrael. We assume that benching is a mitzvah d'oraisa wherever we happen to find ourselves. If you ate the pita with the falafel in Tel Aviv, or if you ate the pita with the falafel in Johannesburg, you have to bench one way or the other. We assume that benching is a daraisa, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or Chutzal Aretz. So, and what are you going to tell me? That it was a mitzvah that didn't come up all that frequently? They didn't eat? I mean, they didn't have an opportunity to bench during the 40 years that they were in the desert? So the Radvaz uses that as an example where he says, you know, here's just another a common example of a mitzvah which doesn't meet the criteria of the Ramban. Rabbi Shevel goes on to quote from the Kli Chemda of Meir Don Plotsky, who was one of the great achronim of the late 19th, early 20th century. The Kli Chemda actually came certainly to America. I believe he came to New York at one point during his lifetime. Like everything else, you know, I think he came to raise money, you know, like everybody from Europe came at that time. So the Kli Chemda in his commentary on the Chumash quotes this discussion between the Ramban and the Radvaz, and he suggests that no, maybe Birkas HaMazon only became obligatory min haTorah once the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael. Why would one say that? So first of all, there seems to be some support for that in the Gemara itself. The Gemara talks about who created, who composed the various different brachos, which we say in Birkas HaMazon. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu composed the brach of Hazon when the man started coming down. The second brach of Nodelecho was composed by Yehoshua when they went into Eretz Yisrael. So in other words, it sounds like during the whole time that they were in the desert, they only had a brach of Hazon. So if you're telling me that Midaraisa, there's an obligation to say all the brachos of Birkas HaMazon, how do they do that? How do they only say Hazon while they were in the desert? Moreover, the Kli Chemda quotes Rashi in Brachos, where Rashi, in reading a certain Gemara, understands that a person who doesn't have a chelek, a portion in Eretz Yisrael, may be exempted midaraisa from Birkas HaMazon. Right, the discussion of the Gemara there in the third parak of Brachos is whether women have a Torah obligation in Birkas HaMazon or not. Why would women be exempted from Birkas HaMazon midaraisa? So Rashi writes, because they say, they talk about Bris and Torah, and they talk about the Nachala that they have in Eretz Yisrael, and they don't have a Nachala, they don't have a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Truth is, if you look at the Pasuk itself in Ekev, one can argue that the Pasuk itself is the biggest proof to this idea of the Kli Chemda. The Pasuk doesn't say, V'yochalto v'sovato v'irachtos Hashem Elokecha al hamazon asher nosan loch, that you should eat and be satiated and bless Hashem for the food which He gave you. It says, V'irachtos Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz hatova asher nosan loch. The focus of Birkas HaMazon is Eretz Yisrael. So while it's true that even we who in Chutzal HaAretz, even we, when we have bread, we bench, but the focus of that bracha is not so much just thanking Hashem for the food which we ate, we're using the food which we ate as a medium through which to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the bracha of Eretz Yisrael. Even when we're benching in Chutzal HaAretz, the focus of our thanksgiving is for the gift of Eretz Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. So that whole concept only makes sense once we're actually granted Eretz Yisrael. So in other words, there may have been, Moshe Rabbeinu may have instituted an idea of saying a bracha after they ate the man, as a way of expressing gratitude to Hashem for the sustenance that they received from the man. But in a sense, one can argue, as the Kli Chemda says it, benching in the Midbar before they came into Eretz Yisrael was merely the Rabbanan. It was a takana, it was an enactment of Moshe Rabbeinu to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that they were being sustained. The mitzvah d'araisa of Birkas HaMazon, the way we know it, only devolved upon the Jewish people when they came into Eretz Yisrael, because the focus of the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon is to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift of Eretz Yisrael. And obviously we can only thank Hashem for that gift once the gift has actually been given to us. In other contexts, we've pointed out the idea that in a somewhat counterintuitive way, Birkas HaMazon really is not primarily about thanking Hashem for the food which we've eaten. Again, if you look at the text of Birkas HaMazon, a relatively small amount of Birkas HaMazon actually talks about the fact that we thank Hashem for the food. It's really just the Brach of Hazan that talks about the fact that we were thankful for the food. The bulk of Birkas HaMazon is about thanking Hashem for various concepts and institutions that we have in Jewish life. We thank Hashem for Eretz Yisrael, we thank Hashem for the Bris, we thank Hashem for the Torah which He gave us, we thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. In the Brach of Rachem, we thank Hashem for the gift of Yerushalayim, we ask Him to restore the Beis HaMikdash, we ask Him to restore the Malchus Beis David, the Davidic dynasty. So all of that's really the bulk of Birkas HaMazon. The bulk of Birkas HaMazon is to focus us and remind us of how fortunate we are to have the gift of Eretz Yisrael and everything that comes with it. So it's perhaps not surprising to assume that, according to the Ramban, the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon is only given to Klal Yisrael when they're right about to come into Eretz Yisrael, because the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon is tied with Eretz Yisrael to an incredible degree, much more than we normally think about it when we bench. This would certainly be in line with the Ramban's focus on Eretz Yisrael, which we find runs throughout his writings. We spoke about that a little bit last week, the Ramban's contention that the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, of settling Eretz Yisrael, is a mitzvah d'araisa, it's one of the 613 mitzvahs, that the quality of mitzvahs outside of Eretz Yisrael is far inferior to the quality of mitzvahs when performed in Eretz Yisrael. Again, our concepts from the Ramban we've seen again and again. And here, if the Kli Chemda is correct, and it certainly works within the Ramban, You know, even mitzvos, which we assume may not have a direct connection to Eretz Yisrael, something like Birkas HaMazon, that certainly on the surface we would relate to the food rather than to Eretz Yisrael, here the Ramban is saying, no, you don't understand. Eretz Yisrael is a central and essential part of the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon. It's certainly something to think about when we do bench, and hopefully we do bench frequently. It's something to think about that the focus of what we're thinking about when we bench is this concept of the centrality of Eretz Yisrael, and we should focus on that when we have the opportunity to express our thanks to Hashem during the course of the Birkas HaMazon. I'll just finish off with the Ramban. The Ramban writes that in addition to the mitzvos that are mentioned in Sefer Dvarim, there's also Musar in Sefer Dvarim. Terem Shiyaskil Bebir HaTorah, before Moshe Rabbeinu begins explaining the Torah, Hiskil Lahochicham Lahazkir Lahem Avonoseim Kama Yomruhu Bamidbar. Moshe Rabbeinu mentions to Klal Yisrael, he reminds them of all of their sins which they committed while they were in the desert. And yet, V'kamo Hismahegi Moem HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'midas HaRachamim. The point is not simply to chew out Klal Yisrael for all of their transgressions, but the point of so much of Sefer Dvarim, the first three parashios in particular, is to remind Klal Yisrael how HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated the Jews with mercy that they really did not deserve. Right? Sefer Dvarim is supposed to remind us of the mercies, of the chesed, the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ulechazek libam behodio osam ki b'midas rachamim yisnahegi moem le'olam. And the point of all of these words of Musar is to remind Klal Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us in rachamim. He deals with us compassionately in all of his dealings with us forever and ever. I think it's worth noting that, of course, Chazal tell us that Parshas Devarim is always laid right before Tisha B'Av. That's Gemara and Megillah. And, you know, the various interpretations as to the connection between Sefer Devarim and Tisha B'Av. Perhaps one can suggest, based on this Ramban, that one of the ideas of laying Sefer Devarim before Tisha B'Av is to remind us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's constant mercy and his kindness to Klal Yisrael. When we encounter something like Tisha B'Av, our immediate reaction is to say the Ribbono Shel Olam really gave us a tremendous clap. He hit us over the head in a terrible, terrible fashion. Come Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Dvarim in particular, and it reminds us, you know, for all that we may feel that we've been hit, understand that it was done with tremendous rachamim, with tremendous compassion, tremendous chesed, tremendous kindness. An important lesson for us to take to heart in these days leading up to Tisha B'Av. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer.